Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, A Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass. And if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header menu, and you'll be good to go.
That being said, let's trek further down the path of
look, listen, and live. Wait, it could be look, listen, and live, too. Huh, I hadn't really thought about that.
Escucha! Escucha me! I think that's is that a Gypsy King song? Escucha me?
I don't know, dude.
I gotta look that up. I love those guys. Some badass shit.
But basically, let me start with something I told Jake the other day that was just mind-boggling to me. So I know accidents happen, and you know, that's the way the world is, and everyone makes mistakes, but I was
is this when you were telling me that I was a mistake and my parents, after already having 3 kids,
no,
made another mistake?
No, I wouldn't.
Wasn't that?
I would never say that to your face, Jake. So I was in the McDonald's drive-thru. Now, I'm a vegetarian. I've been that way since I was 12. Don't blame me. I'm not in vogue. Or back when I was starting to be a vegetarian, there was no others.
I tell people about you. And they're like, wow, he sounds like a douchebag. I'm like, no. It wasn't like that. It was just a thing that he started doing. They're like, really? He was a hipster when he was 12?
Yes, ask my folks.
Like, it's not like that.
No, I was ostracized because I lived in a family that liked red meat. And steak and burgers.
Yeah, imagine growing up in a big fat Greek wedding and you're like 12 years old and you're like, I'm a vegetarian now.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't like the taste of that stuff. Anyway, let me move on. So I was at McDonald's because my wife's not a vegetarian and neither is my 4-year-old who likes their fries. And, you know, we were in the drive-through line. We're rolling through and right at the pay window where everyone has just stopped, you know, and then you go a little bit and then you stop right before the pay window. This woman just rear ends the dude in front of her going like, what, how fast could she be going? Fast enough that she has to get out. The other guy has to get out. They have to take pictures. They had to bring the police. Like, and the whole line is held up. It was just like a complete,
brutal.
Yeah, complete mess. All I wanted was the damn fries and, you know, and whatever we were getting.
I mean, you know, drive right through. nothing should be in front of you.
That's what she said. Probably she's gonna go to court and say, you know, it said drive through.
Yeah, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, anyway, no. So this got me thinking that, like, what the hell happened? Like, you know, she must have been not paying attention, right? Looking at her phone or doing something. She was the only one in the car.
See, I hate that the phone gets the blame because here's my opinion on this shit.
You love your phone and you sleep with it and you cuddle it.
No. It's that the phone is now a scapegoat for something that's been going on forever. Like, driving is the way you can tell about a culture. And I feel like for a very long time, people don't give a shit about anybody else. They just do whatever the hell they want. They think they're the only people on earth. And that comes out in driving. Like, the way people drive, the way people walk down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people just cross streets, dude. They don't give a shit. Like, if anyone's coming, like,
well, they assume you're not going to hit them.
Yeah, it's like,
you're not
going to
hit me.
Like,
they're going to see me.
Yeah, I feel like it comes from like this weird capitalist thought process of like, do whatever it takes to like get ahead of the next person. It's just out of control.
Wow.
That people think they're running the company of themselves, and like they have to get ahead of the competitor. So it's like if they pick a wrong lane, or if, and I remember like Louis C.K. would talk about this. He'd be like, if you fuck up when you're driving, most people, because they're assholes, will just make it inconvenient for everybody else. No, I was supposed to take this left. Like, I'm going to get all the way back in the left lane and I'm going to take this left. Like, there's no, I messed up, but it's all your fault. You know what I mean? Right. Like, instead of just going to the next left and fixing it, like, that's what I feel like this is. It's not the phone. When people aren't paying attention when they're driving, it's not the fucking phone, dude. It's that they're assholes.
I mean, I started this off with a McDonald's story and you went into like a capitalist rant.
But that's what I'm saying though, because like people don't pay attention to anything because they think that like that's the way to do it, to get ahead.
Yeah, but that's like driving with entitlement. I get that. Everyone's in their bubble. That's a whole road rage thing too, where people think they're indestructible in their car. I'm talking about someone just not paying attention and just hitting the accelerator for no reason and smashing.
I'm telling you the root.
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, I agree with what you're saying.
You're talking sharp 11. I'm over here at the root.
Oh, whatever, man. I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I think that this also has to do with just someone not paying attention to what's around them. And that's where we're going to go with this.
That's a boring life too. I've never understood that. Like, don't you want to look around? Don't you want to know who's behind you? Like, who's in front of you? Who might be trying to change lanes? Like, it's just interesting.
Amen, Jake, because that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So, if we're talking about screen time, I know Jake is very, he's going to get mad because I'm talking about phones right now. And he's very attached to his phone. He's named it. He cuddles with it. But some people have a big problem with their phones. How often do you look at your phone or tablet, right? If you're in a social situation, like a party or a gathering, do you look at your device every time you're uncomfortable, right? Or not 100% stimulated? Yeah. That's a big crutch that people use. Back before phones were so relevant, or I mean, abundant is a better word. If you were at a party and you felt uncomfortable, you might try to strike up a conversation, or I mean, you'd hope so, or do something. But now people just go on their phones and sit in the corner because they're too kind of uncomfortable.
Oh, dude, that's my excuse for everything.
It's a lot of people's excuses.
When I look at my phone, I'm like, I'm not really doing anything, you know, like, yeah. What else would I be doing? It's like, do nothing or just do something else.
Right.
You know, do what everyone did prior to 1996.
Yeah. I mean, basically, are you more, and for a lot of people, they're more concerned about a social media notification or something in the news feed than talking to a person next to them. You know, like there could be someone, a stranger that's also not doing anything and you could talk to them and maybe even strike up a friendship, which we've talked about is always great for networking and just being a good person and all that stuff. But, you know, they're like, oh, look, you know, something in my feed. I didn't know this happened, you know, or oh my gosh, you know, like trade rumors in baseball or Trump did this. There's always something in the news feed. That's the point. And there's always a notification popping up like so-and-so tagged you in a post. Like, oh, I got to see
that.
I
feel like people actually don't even really care. It's just so... it's just a twitch at this point. Like they just do it and they do it because they would be uncomfortable otherwise.
I know, but
that's what's so insane. That's why it's an addiction.
But what if you're on the other side of this, right? And you're talking to someone at a gathering and a party and you just meet someone, you go there and then the person, as you're talking to them, is on their fucking phone, like looking at stuff while you're in mid conversation. And tapping things, not just like looking at it.
Modern dating is like that because essentially you're competing with social media.
Right.
If you're like approaching someone and you're trying to get to know them better and that dance starts, they're still, both people are still on their phones talking to and socializing with like the whole fucking world.
Yeah.
Like constantly. So like that is, that's a huge, that really hasn't been talked about much, just how this has affected like dating.
But even if we take this to another extreme, let's say I actually have a friend on Facebook and he posted a picture a while back of his kids at the Grand Canyon. And the picture was kind of he was kind of pissed. So he took it. And basically it's his kids sitting at the edge of the Grand Canyon on their fucking iPads.
Yeah.
Like looking at their iPads when there's this amazing wonder of the world in front of them.
Really? It's a hole in the ground, Adam.
Oh, screw that.
That's what my brother calls it. He goes, yeah, I went to the Grand Canyon. He goes, you just stand there. It's a big hole in the ground.
It's amazing. I've been there.
He's just being a dick, though.
It's hilarious. He's totally being a dick.
I hiked I hiked it in a time where I had a flip phone, I think.
Yeah.
So like I was, and you know, there's no signal once you're down there.
No.
It's a, yeah, but
yeah. So we recommend going in the Grand Canyon with no signal. Of course, if you get lost, you're probably going to die there. So
no, there's people down there. Oh, okay, they have people working down there. Okay, you camp down there. It's awesome. All right, it's amazing. Yeah.
But what I was getting back to is like, all right, let's say you're at this party and you're talking to someone you just met, striking up what's supposed to be a friendship. And like I said, that's always great. These are probably musical people, maybe people you have some common interest with. And then you or that person, let's say the other person starts like looking at their phone while you're talking to them and pressing buttons. You know what I mean? It just shows you that they don't really give a shit about you. Even if they do, that's what you'd think, right? I mean, it's very...
Yeah, that's what you think. Yeah, that's definitely not what it is, but...
No, but that's what you think. And what are they... What is that important? You know what I mean? Like, what are they pressing? Like, are they just responding to their friend that's like, hey, what's up? Again, we're in the midst of a pandemic right now, right? And hopefully, we're all social distancing and... But this has been happening for a long time before anyone ate a bat, you know, basically. And...
What? I'm not Ozzy talking about a bat.
Yeah, he bit one's head off in the 80s, right?
Yeah, there's no fucking... Right.
He's the original, you know, he's the OG.
Dude, this is the Ozzy virus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, but...
Black Sabbath virus.
Yeah, but I disagree with harming bats. Do you know that I recently got a bat house? I'm going to build bat house.
They're awesome.
Yeah, outside here, because bats can eat like, what is it? They can eat 1,200, I looked it up, 1,200 mosquitoes... An hour, like one bat, yeah. Dude. So if you can house like 50 bats in a bat house, you put it on your, like yeah. you, on a tree that yeah, faces
my yard
the sun.
Back east,
dude.
Yep,
that thing will just—it's awesome. You know,
like we used to sit in our pool like on summer nights,
yeah.
And like they were off kind of in the trees that the houses that we had, and they would kind of come out in like, you know, spurts. It was like fucking World War II every night.
Yeah,
they'd come
dive
out
bombing
and just they'd get them all.
And dude, you know? If you don't think that's a lot, you know, if you get a bunch of bats, I mean, you literally won't get bit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's also the circle of life, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's weird, you know, thinking that we don't hate mosquitoes, but like,
they carry diseases sometimes. And
they have a certain role in society, and one of those roles is to get eaten by bats.
Yeah, exactly. Or dragonflies or whatever.
Oh, hell yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, man.
So getting back to the McDonald's incident, like, you know, I don't know why this woman rear-ended this other guy. You know, I've seen many signs and commercials about not texting and driving, right? So why are there so many PSAs about this, you know? Because, and why are the tickets for texting and driving so expensive in some states? What is it in LA? Like $500?
Yeah, I almost got one coming off 405, getting on the 10, and like a cop saw me, man. He fucking ripped me a new asshole. He didn't give me a ticket, but...
Right.
I stopped, like that cut me down a lot. Actually, now I have, like there's apps now that are Bluetooth and plug in, like everything I could need, I don't need to text, but like all my mapping and all that stuff is on my dash now from my phone. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like those apps help.
Yeah. I mean, the point being is that you're driving a 2-ton piece of metal down a road.
Yeah.
And if there's other people not paying attention, there's potential for some serious shit to go wrong.
Yeah, it's a blink of an eye.
Yeah, the blink of an eye. And I know this is not, it's not totally cut and dry. There are times of emergency when you really need to be glued to your phone, when you're waiting for a call or there's something very important. I mean, those things exist. In that case, I'd hope you wouldn't be driving so you could concentrate on the situation, you know. But
or make use of your technology, Bluetooth, all that shit.
Yeah, but I'm talking about general chit-chat and notifications and things that can just wait until you're not driving or you can pull over. Yeah. But and we can talk about that movie. We've talked about it before, The Social Dilemma, and how people are addicted to their devices. Every time their phone buzzes or makes a chime, you know? And the way technology has shaped our world, it's allowed basically us humans to be more narcissistic than ever, right? It's all about us. You have followers, you have a feed, people are liking things, they're commenting, people are influencers. It's like that episode of Black Mirror with what was it, Bryce Dallas Howard? Did you ever see that one? Where
I don't watch Black Mirror.
Oh, it's too stressful for you?
I just don't need to see all the possible futures of this shitty fucking world.
Dude, it's basically it's this future, dystopian future where it's all about social media and people can rate each other from 1 to 5 stars for every...
I've seen that one.
Yeah, every interaction they have.
I think that was the... I watched two. It was that one and like the pig one.
And it impacts like their socioeconomic status. So like,
but don't they do that in Asia now?
Some parts of Asia. Yeah. I mean, so like there's a point where like she can't rent a car or get on a plane because she's like a 3 or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm kind of down with that, to be honest. Like, no. I feel like there should be that for driving.
for driving.
I see so much stuff where people are just like, oh, I got away with it. It's like, dude, you just put like 30 people's lives at risk so you could like get 2 seconds ahead. Like, you should be getting points taken off your like collective. And then if you fucking pull that shit like 2 more times, you don't get to drive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. All right. So anyway, how can we cut some of this noise out and get back to being human again? We talked on another podcast about limiting your device time. One of our listeners emailed me some apps that he uses to limit the exact amount of social media he can use, or time on CNN.com or whatever it is. It cuts you off at a certain time. So if you feel like you need some ruling over your habits, like some kind of restrictive nature, there's things that can do that for you. Or you can check in with yourself throughout the day and say, let's pay attention to what's happening right now. Like you said before, like, I'm going to check in right now, take 5 minutes or 10 minutes and just look around your environment and see what you can take in. Make it an exercise. You know, maybe you'll notice a painting on the wall had a detail you never saw before, or like there's a cool cloud in the sky, or someone at work is doing something interesting. It's not really important what you find, rather that you're doing the repetitive exercise of checking in. And it reminds me a lot of that, because I know you checked out lucid dreaming, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things about lucid dreaming, which is so hip, is that one people that don't know what lucid dreaming is, it's not having a vivid dream. It means that you can control your dream while you're in it. It means that you realize you're dreaming, but you can stay in the dream and make whatever you want happen while you're in it.
It's very hard to keep.
It's very hard. There's ways of doing it. There's books. I've read them. Jake has read them. But one of the ways you get into a lucid dream is that you have to realize you're dreaming, right? So the way they usually tell people to do this is by every day when you're not dreaming, constantly throughout the day, check in and look around you at the walls and the sky and the floor and see if it is real. Like,
yeah, because
if you're
to read small text,
yeah,
turn lights on and off.
Exactly. And like, look at the floor. Is it like, is that really your floor? Like, is that, why is the sky moving like that? You know what I mean? Like,
and just question reality.
Yeah.
Ask the actual question. Be like, am I awake or am I dreaming? Like, how did I get to this place that I'm at?
Exactly.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
But then you do it in your dream and then you.
And the point being is what Jake said, meaning that you get in such a habit of every day questioning if you're awake, questioning if this is real, that when you're in a dream, you're actually going to question it. Then you're like, oh, I am dreaming. Let me take control of this dream and have some fun. So,
And it's cool because you realize like certain characters that are in your dream a lot that you never realized before, or certain places or certain objects. So then you start jotting all that stuff down, keep trying to be like, oh, there's always this one lamp in my dreams that I haven't had since I was 5, you know? So that's like, it kind of knocks you out of it. You're like, oh, there's that lamp. I'm probably not awake.
Right. Exactly. And you know, this is exactly what I'm talking about with the check-in. Like, if you can do that with lucid dreaming, which is very, very useful, it's the same with this exercise of taking 5 minutes or even less, you know, whatever time you have, and just looking around, no matter where you are, no matter if you just have 30 seconds in your middle work, take a second, look around, and do it constantly, like throughout the day in different intervals, so that you have that idea or that feeling of stopping and checking in. Because this is what you're going to have to do when you're playing music, when you're doing anything. Like, you need to be aware of what's going on around you, and you need to be able to snap into it. You know what I mean? Like, you want to be able to get into that zone quickly. So this is not just a life exercise or like a silly thing. This is real work.
Yeah. And like, to go a step further, you can have what they call God moments
in your lucid dreams.
No, just like everyday life. If you're literally just bored waiting for, even if you're at the freaking DMV, you can literally just sit there and make a God moment where you just look around and you just take in like everything. Like, it's just existence. Like the fact that you are a human being on this planet, sitting in this room waiting for this thing to happen, and there's a bunch of human beings everywhere. Like you can make it a God moment. It's like this awe thing. We have it a lot in music. Like that's that feeling you get when you listen to, like, you know, an orchestra or like, you know, an adagio movement of like Beethoven. You're like, holy shit, this is badass. Like you can do that whenever you want. You just have to allow yourself to take it in and do that.
Yeah.
But stuff like that, I mean, it's like, that sounds fun. Like, don't look at Facebook. Just do that instead a couple times. Have a God moment.
Make it an exercise for yourself. And I swear that it's going to be rewarding. And it's really good work to put in because you have to be able to do that. It's like, and even if you're not on a phone or distracted by a device, you can be completely thinking about only yourself. You know, not taking in the experience that's around you. You know, for instance, if you talk to someone for 20 minutes at a party and don't remember their name, don't remember what they do, like, you need to listen. Like, what the hell happened? Like, were you just thinking about
work on that shit?
Yeah, you got to work on that. Like,
are you going to remember chord changes?
Well, it's like, why? Because that person, what they were saying wasn't important to you. Like, you have to focus. Like, you have to, you know, you have to listen to people and understand what they like and then respond to them and remember them, you know, and so that next time you see them, like, that's not only the right friend thing to do, but again, it's the right networking thing to do.
What was that website, Adam, that used to like have brain exercises? Was it like Lumosity or something like that?
It might be. I don't know.
I remember there was something like that.
Luminosity?
It reminds me sort of just like practicing in your head.
Right.
Because like that's fun too. Like if you don't want to look at your phone and you're just like, well, I don't know what the hell else to do. I'm sitting in the waiting room. I really want to just look at my phone. Like, oh, okay. Well, instead, how about you just run through 12 keys and say, okay, run through all the modes, be like, okay, I'm going to do C Dorian. So I got in C Dorian, I got a B flat major, I got a C minor, I got a D minor, I got an E flat major. You know what I mean? Like run through your shit, like just in your head.
It's true. Why not? A lot of people do that.
It'd be great if someone handed you your instrument while you're in the waiting room and you could practice, but that's not going to happen.
They'd be pissed.
So it's just like there are things to do. Like it is hard to remember what the hell you did to keep your mind occupied before phones.
I mean, there's most people in New York, most of the musicians I know, they practice on the subway in their heads. And some of the drummers, they tap rhythms on their legs. You know what I mean? Yeah. Daniel Doerr does that a lot.
Run through transcriptions that you know, like play a solo in your head. Why the hell not? That's what you're trying to do anyway.
Yeah. I remember that was what Bob Moses talked to us about in his masterclass, the fact that he would be walking down the street in a certain rhythm and he'd come up with something, you know? And
oh, man, he's been doing like webinars.
Oh, nice,
which is pretty cool. Yeah. I'm just happy to see him doing some shit. He's
the man.
Yeah.
Also, when you're playing, if you're just thinking about yourself, like we've talked about before, you're going to miss out on whatever else is happening in the band, which in turn will make your performance not as good because the band has to sound cohesive. You have to listen to what's going on, feed off that energy. It's a conversation. And if you're just doing your own thing, that's not the way music works.
Yeah. You should almost do it from like their perspective. That's also a fun exercise. That's like a very Virginia Woolf exercise. Oh. It's like, instead of just thinking about yourself, try and like be in the other person's shoe and be like, oh, I wonder like what I look like to that person.
Yeah.
Not in like a bad like thing where you give a shit about what anyone thinks about you, but just like a fun exercise, like a character exercise. And kind of do that when you play music. Like if you're playing a solo, try to hear it from like the bass player's perspective. Like, oh, I wonder what this cat's hearing.
Absolutely.
Like, is he hearing what I'm doing? Like, I'll give him some shit, you know, like don't be so inner and only inner.
And you perspective. Know, and you know, Dave Liebman, when we filmed him a while back doing a jazz rhythm masterclass, one of the things he said was most important for him as a saxophone player and a single line soloist was learning drums, because he said he wanted to be in the perspective, or it was very important for him to be in the perspective as a drummer, accounting for every beat on a ride cymbal. So he would just play a ride cymbal along with Elvin Jones recordings or something like that, just to, you know, get that role in his head, to think of it, of himself outside of himself. And it improved his playing. A lot of musicians have done that as well. Will Vinson, he has another rhythm masterclass with us. And he said that one of the things that helped his playing was thinking of himself from a bass player's perspective. Again, like, you know, putting himself outside of his own body a little bit and seeing himself as a bass player or what a bass player would be doing, you know. I know that it's a little cerebral, but it's true, you know. And
so is music.
Yeah. And if we go back to the, because I forgot to make this point, go back to the going to a party and not remembering someone's name after you talk to them for a while. Ron Jones had this great thing I just remembered. He, in his masterclass that he did with us, Ron talked about, he said, go to a gathering or a function or event, party, whatever it is, and make it a game for yourself to see. And he said it like that, like, make it a game. Like, how many names can I remember? And how much can I remember about these new people that I've talked to? Like, can I get 10 names and what they do and all this stuff? Like, can I make 10 friends? It's not like, can I get 10 contacts, of course, but
yeah,
you know, that's essentially what it is. You know, your friends are your contacts. So get that straight. You know, this isn't us being shady. This is just how life works. but yeah, can you go to an event and like meet 10 people and remember their damn names? Is it that hard? Like, you know what I mean?
Some cases, yeah. Especially if you're in the entertainment industry, because they're all fucking lying to you.
Yeah, but again, you should remember their names so that next time you see them, you can go, hey. You
call them out.
Hey, Jake. And they'll be like, oh, you know me. Like, I mean, seriously, that's how it works. It's all about repetition. If you go into a new city, this is kind of off topic, but if you go into a new town, new city, and you show up once, you get to know people's names. They're probably not going to remember yours. But if you go back again, you call people by their name, say, hey, yeah, remember, I remember you said you had that dog. Like, you know, but what park do you guys go to? Like, you know, I have a dog. You guys walk around. Like, I didn't find any good dog parks, you know, like whatever. You got to be friendly, you know, learn how to small talk too. So, and to wrap this up, in terms of your music career or your playing or anything like that, if you don't learn how to step outside of yourself and stop your inner monologue, you know, from criticizing your technique or your sound or the fact that you missed the bridge or that you thought your solo didn't go anywhere or that your ex-girlfriend's in the audience or your ex-boyfriend or, I mean, whatever the case is, like, if you can't get out of that, you're never going to be able to perform at a high level. Or you won't have the greatest gig. It'll just be a whatever gig again. Once you're able to listen to everyone else on the stage and really understand what they're bringing to the table, feel the rhythm of the bass and the drums, and then really hear what something else is doing. I mean, I've been on gigs where, you know, when I was younger and I really wasn't listening as much, and then I'd be like, man, that thing you were doing on guitar was really cool. And dude would be like, I've been doing that for a year. That's my part. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, sorry. You know, I mean, like, that's kind of the shit I'm talking about. Like,
I just never sent that text. There it is. Last year. cool part, bro.
Yeah. But, you know, everyone's guilty at it at some point. But there was a point in my life where I decided that I needed to wake up, you know what I mean? And make an effort, because it's not always natural. So we're humans and we self-criticize. We all have our own problems day to day and whatever it is, but you have to drop it and be part of the whole and do that while you're driving, especially at McDonald's. Don't you crash into that person in front of you, or else I'm going to call you out.
You're already doing bad enough shit by being at McDonald's. Don't get into an accident in the drive.
It's embarrassing.
That just makes it worse.
And then you have to call the cops. Like, how fast could you be going? I mean,
and then eating McDonald's after all that is just—it's not going to be enjoyable.
It's good. It's going to give you heartburn instantly.
I mean, just, you're embarrassed. You feel guilty. You feel
and
awful.
And you're eating McDonald's.
Like, oh, cool! Like, I have this Big Mac. I have to eat now. Great.
Can I have the McShake now? Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
All right.
Go out and get a salad if you do that.
Yeah, I mean, no matter where you are, you could be at a Burger King and hit someone. It's the same thing. We're not just saying McDonald's.
If you're at a Burger King, you're just not doing anything right.
How about In-N-Out Burger?
Yeah, that's great. In-N-Out Burger, but like, you need animal style fries. The burgers are great, but if anyone's doing like the plain fries, then they're not paying attention in life.
Yeah, you're so LA with your In-N-Out Burger.
Well, I used to hate it, but then I realized like you just get animal style fries, then you're good because everyone hates the fries.
Ah, the fries. What's animal style?
Like, well, you put like all this stuff on it. That's
what
all
is this?
It's
what
like
is
cheese and grilled onions and fucking.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
damn,
the fries are perfect for that.
So we've learned something here and about the animal style fries. So if you take nothing else away from this, then I know that next time I'm in LA, I can get that. And that sounds delicious. Yeah. And try not to hit anyone in your car. And also try to look around, especially now, right? This is the holiday season. Shit's a mess. We all know the world is crazy, but take a minute every day to look around and, you know, if you can appreciate what you have, right? I mean, if you're listening to this, you're still alive, and that's kind of dark to say that, but that, you know, it's a positive, and you know, look around and be grateful for some stuff.
That's the only good thing about listening to this podcast is that you're alive.
They're like, man, you should listen to this podcast, The Performer's Pathway. Man, they reminded me that I was alive. But the thing is, if you're dreaming, you know. Did I say that, or you know, that you're alive, or you're dreaming, or is this a dream?
Issues. You need some Freudian help if you're dreaming about our podcast.
Yeah. So, are you dreaming right now? So, look around and make sure you're not dreaming, and check your lucid dreams. And then, if you are dreaming, that is, you know, dream about something fun. All right. Have a good one.
See ya.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.